All right, Thursday night, and we are live. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Aaron, give me updates on the chat whenever you can, because I forgot my iPad. Let me know what's going on in the chat. Anything interesting, just put yourself on and let me know. If you get any new names or anybody like that, let me know what's happening on the chat. Forgot my iPad. Usually you can kind of see it sitting right here, but walked in, realized I forgot it. But anyway, so just a couple of things off of the pregame. As you just saw, and I'm going to use some of the stuff Aaron gave me, what's coming out about East Palestine is that, remember, they had to blow up all of the shipping containers. Well, really, they're not shipping containers. That's an understatement. The, I don't know what you call them, like gas containers, whatever you call that, that had the, like, the chloride, something, now I can't remember, sodium chloride, whatever it was. Can't remember the chemicals that were in there. And they were so dangerous because they were heating up. Well, when they blew it up, two of the containers were between 64 and 75 degrees. That's not remotely dangerous. You're talking about they need to get to boiling, the place to a boiling point where those shipping containers can blow up on their own. So they were never, the blowing them up was never needed. It was never needed to blow them up. Now we know that. And that's really what caused the horrendous damage in East Palestine was the mushroom cloud. For the first time in the history of the United States, outside of the Manhattan Project out in the deserts, that we've had a mushroom cloud inside of the United States of America, namely in a semi-urban center. Yeah, vinyl chloride. Thank you, Aaron. Yep. I knew he'd find it. So that never needed to happen. So why is it that everything has to blow up? This is what I'm stealing from Aaron. Why is it, because Aaron made this comment, it's just like the White House cocaine case. Well, why is it just like Ukraine? Why does everything have to blow up? It's just like the pipe bombs. Remember the pipe bombs outside of the RNC and the DNC, where you had DC Metro Police, the Secret Service, the FBI, just allowing children to walk past these alleged pipe bombs. It's on video. Matt Taibbi exposed all of this. Or maybe it was Darren Beatty. It's Darren Beatty. Exposed all of this. There's children walking by these pipe bombs, which are absolutely ridiculous in nature. See the pictures of them. But they're basically pipe bombs that would be used as movie props in a 1982 film. That's really what they are. You either get the pipe and then you got an egg timer. And remember, these pipe bombs are supposed to go off in 12 hours, and it's an egg timer that can only elapse 60 minutes. So it makes no sense, and that's why these agents that were there, whether it's Secret Service, whether it's DC Metro cops, whether it's the FBI, DOJ personnel, whatever it is, they're just letting children and citizens walk right by them because they knew they were movie props. Yeah, Aaron, pop that up. This is absolutely ridiculous. I mean, come on.
They're clipped on.
I mean, I mean, look at, I mean, how ridiculous could this be? Yeah, they've got those, like, those joint clips that people use to smoke doobies that are attached to this thing. And you're supposed to believe this is actually a pipe bomb. And then so there's no TNT on the inside of these things. But yet the FBI comes in, our saviors, the FBI, comes in and blows them up. And then, of course, you have the Secret Service comes in. The Secret Service police comes into the White House, confirms using a region test that the substance found inside a little white baggie in a locker in the White House, a locker that's surveilled by video cameras 24/7 with the most high-tech video cameras that there are, looking down on all the lockers. So whoever put it in would be shown. But yet, what has to happen with cocaine? Again, I know all of you here, there's 674 on watching right now. I know all of you have heard this. But I was a cop from 1992 to 2017, right where I'm sitting. Never in the history of my law enforcement career did I or any other cop I know blow up evidence. But yet the United States Secret Service police go in there, grab a hold of that bag of cocaine, for some unknown reason, unrecognizable reason, blow it up. Why would you blow it up? It's already tested positive for cocaine because I'm going to call it the Ukraine principle. Everything that is Democratic Party or Uniparty malfeasance must be blown up. East Palestine, who is it that's really behind the vinyl chloride in those storage containers? Exactly, in those tankers. I want to get down in, maybe it's nothing. I mean, maybe it's no nefarious person, but what, I mean, again, 55 years here on planet Earth, I've seen, of course, it's exponentially increased under Pete Buttigieg and the Biden administration. So we know that the transportation secretary, whose expertise is pothole filling in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's his soul, a city of 30,000 people. That is his expertise. If he becomes transportation secretary, his expertise is actually that he is Pete Buttigieg. With his gay husband having their gay kids, and sitting there taking 6 weeks of FMLA leave so him and his husband can pretend like they're breastfeeding. That's his expertise that qualifies him to be transportation secretary. And we have ships in exponential numbers running in and destroying bridges, being stuck under bridges, trains derailing everywhere. We know that. So why did these, now again, what I was going to say with this is that I'm 55 years old. I've seen a lot of just on news reports. He's just a cop for 25 years and then pastor in this church right here locally, Northport, Florida. I've seen a lot of train crashes and derailments throughout my life on the news. Mm-hmm. Now, Aaron's is 25 years younger than me, roughly. Will is 15 years younger than me. You 40 yet?
42.
So Will's 13 years younger than me. My wife's the same age as me. We're sitting right here. Has anybody in this room, in all the derailments you've ever seen, put yourself on video if it's yes, seen a company come in and blow up vinyl chloride or any chemical when it's derailed?
No.
And then once they blow it up, and they create a mushroom cloud over East Palestine. And now the facts have come out. There was never a need to blow it up at all because their excuse was, man, those are getting hot. Oh, you think? You know what you might want to do? Spray some foam on them.
Yeah.
Don't light them on fire and cause a mushroom cloud to billow over East Palestine, Ohio, which exclusively houses Republican voters. And then, after you do that, and you create chemical spill, put it up, Aaron, anytime you feel the need, I'll just yell over everything. That's good. That's what it looked like. This is all fact, by the way. This is what it looked like. This is what East Palestine looked like. Oh, my goodness. There was never a need to create anything that you're seeing in the pictures that Aaron's putting up right now.
Wow.
Because those tankers were only at 64 to 75 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
That's actually a cool day here in Florida.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a 64 degrees. All the Floridians got their sweatshirts on.
Yeah.
There was no need to ever do that. And then after they blow it up and they cause, instead of having a chemical spill in a contained area of, let's say, 100 yards each direction, now you've got a chemical spill over hundreds and hundreds and thousands of miles. Many people outside of East Palestine, Ohio, felt the repercussions of blowing up vinyl chloride. You know, because you know what? Yes, we are not supposed to do with vinyl chloride. Blow it up and make it into a cloud. Oh my God. And then after they do that, do they come in with bulldozers and front-end loaders and dig up underneath all those tracks and haul away all of that drenched dirt under the tracks? That's all saturated with vinyl chloride. Do they do that? No. They come in, they remove the existing tracks that are burned to a crisp because they blow them up, and put new tracks on top of the spill. Yeah. Just left it all on the ground. That's absolute fact, by the way. Unless they've come in subsequently, since the story has faded from the front pages, have come in and done a better cleanup. Next thing off the pregame, already 8:49, but Karine Jean-Pierre, now we have 100 to 110,000 Americans per year dying of fentanyl poisoning. We have that. We know that. So that's more than, basically, we have two times the amount of Americans that died in the Vietnam War dying every year exclusively from fentanyl. Not even the 30% increase in excess deaths that we're seeing from ages 25 to 64. Just ignore all that. Just ignore the, we have about a 32% increase in excess deaths. I wonder why that is. That just began in 2021. Oh, what was in 20? What rolled out in 2021? I'll let everybody figure that out on your own. Just ignore all of that. We have rampant crime. And remember, Karine Jean-Pierre and Joe Biden and every other leftard is espousing that the crime numbers are falling. The crime numbers are skyrocketing. The only thing that's changed is how they report the crime numbers, just like how they report things at the border. All they did to reduce the crime numbers was no longer require jurisdictions to report their crime numbers. That, when did that change? 2022. Hmm. When did the crime rate start going down? 2023.
Oh.
So now only 44% of all agencies inside of the United States of America actually report all of their crime stats to the FBI UCR crime reporting system. Only 44%. Now, what was it prior to the Biden administration in 2022? 100%. Now it's 44%. So you have 56% less crime being reported. And even with that, according to the Biden administration, with 56% less murders being reported to the Biden administration, the murder rate's only down 13%. Only 44% are actually reporting all their crime. All the rest of them are only reporting partial, and 32% of the remaining, 56%, 32% of that 56% that are reporting at all don't report anything at all. New York City reports no crime statistics. So I wonder why our crime rate's down.
Mm-hmm.
Because New York, L.A., Chicago, Miami, and one big one I'm forgetting, and D.C., they don't report any crime to the FBI UCR crime reporting data system. I wonder why the crime rate's down. It's all lies. But even with crime skyrocketing, rapists, I don't care what people, you can call me a racist all you want, rapists flowing through the southern border, murderers flowing through the southern border. You're a racist. Which race? 169 different countries have passed through our southern border illegally. So tell me exactly which one am I a racist of?
Right.
Is it the 100,000 Chinese troops we've allowed through so far? That's, by the way, I'm putting troops on there, but 100,000 military age men from age 18 to 30 that have been allowed through the southern border. So which one am I a racist for exactly? Am I a racist against Asians? All the Eastern Europeans that are flowing through the border? The Muslims? The Dagestanis? The Pakistanis? Which one exactly am I?
Yeah.
The Venezuelans? The Costa Ricans? The Ecuadorians, which one exactly am I a racist of? The Africans? That'd probably be the one that most leftards would pick. But what Karine Jean-Pierre is, and we have rampant murder happening. You have the murder of Lake and Riley, all the different, and she's just one of many. Everyone just remembers that name.
Mm-hmm.
And the rapes, we could do a 3-hour, maybe that's what I need to do. People tend to get bored though when you start just flashing one crime after another in front of their face. I could do it all night. One. Yeah. Illegal border invader crime after another. I could do it for the full hour and a half of the show. Stop, do the post game, and do another 3 hours on it.
It's true.
There's so much data out there on all that. But what Karine Jean-Pierre is concentrating on is background checks for gun dealers. Now let's examine, when was the last time a gun dealer was involved in any felonious crime? But that's what they're concentrating on. The felonious crime that they're causing, they're completely ignoring. But the felonious crime that doesn't exist, that they're dealing with, just like white supremacist terrorism. We're focusing all of our efforts, and we're going to get to the FBI in a minute. We're focusing all of our efforts on white supremacist terrorism, the problem, the plague that doesn't even exist. Just like COVID, we are focusing $7 trillion on COVID-19. The second coming of the bubonic plague that's 99.997% survivable. So that's it for the pregame. I just had to go over that. I'll admit, I'm doing this for fun. I'm just doing a little OJ section here. OJ Simpson passed away. Kind of strange that he passed away. Very much a vaccine pimp and whore that he was, as well as other things, a murderer and an armed robber and things like that. But I digress. But very strange that he died very quickly of cancer. Basically, we all found out he had cancer, and then he was dead of cancer. Very strange. And how many more of these are going to pile up until people start to realize we've got a problem? When you have Ed Dowd telling you from the Society of Actuaries that the excess death rate in America, depending on which age bracket you're in, is roughly 30%. Amongst the healthiest of Americans, the excess death rate among working Americans is 32% excess death rate. So basically, 130 people used to die. Now 132 people are dying. That's a pretty big increase, just so everybody knows. So how many more of these are we going to see? Because this keeps happening over and over again. And sometimes it gets hidden. It gets hidden by elder by age. I was going to say the elderly, but it gets hidden by age. Well, O.J. Simpson was 76. Tom, why are you even talking about this? He's a murderer and an armed robber. I understand that, and I know that he was, and I get it. But it's just very odd that these that sudden we're hearing. Basically, I'm trying to think of them. That's why you're seeing me hesitate here, because there's other cases that are right on the tip of my tongue and tip of my mind, where even if it's an elderly American that suddenly has cancer, what do most elderly Americans die of? Does anybody know? Pneumonia. Don't die of cancer.
Right.
But suddenly, everybody's dying of cancer, and they're calling it dying of old age, or basically, oh, they're old. Listen, O.J. Simpson was 76 and was perfectly fine and was given his pre-Super Bowl commentating prior to Super Bowl. At that time, he had cancer. But it's just kind of weird. I mean, and it keeps happening. It's not, and I'm being, you know, sly here, so to speak. It's not weird. And I'm not saying that every case of cancer is caused by the vax. But turbo cancers are flying through the roof. And it's just another byproduct of the vax. We didn't even have a term called turbo cancer 5 years ago. We didn't have a term turbo cancer 3 years ago. But lo and behold, it started rolling out in 2021. So I just wanted to break down some stuff on OJ. So that's the vax side of it. I'm highly suspicious every time I see somebody suddenly dying of cancer.
Yeah.
You don't hear a word about it. And suddenly they have cancer. It's kind of weird. But. And it happened in my own neighborhood. I saw it in my own neighborhood. People who, again, I'm not saying that it's the vax because there's nobody will. People who know their own family basically died of the vax, refused to come out and say they died of the vax because it would hurt their pride.
Right.
They don't want their pride hurt. And plus they're scared, so they don't want to acknowledge it. Because they're 5 times, 6 times, 7 times, 8 times, 9 times vaccinated. Yep. So I want to just delve into OJ real quick because it just brought back memories. Some of you, I don't think, Aaron, were you even around at that time when OJ's stuff was out? You were maybe
93.
Were you even born yet?
93 was when I was born.
Was you born? Yeah. When did OJ's whole thing happen? It was 90 something when the OJ arrest. But it's been a while. So, 1995. Aaron was 2.
Yeah.
So Aaron was 2 when this happened. But
little baby.
Aaron was a little one. But I just wanted to kind of dive into this real quick just to show people, because it's very relevant to the racism problem that we have in America today. Tom, racism? Yeah, the racism problem. What's the racism problem? Well, the racism problem is DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which is now, again, and I know you've heard me say this a bunch of times. I apologize for the redundancy to the 794 people that are watching right now. And switch over to Rumble if you're watching on any other platform. But we have a white-on-black crime problem in America. And I know nobody else will say it. And when I say that, I mean basically 99% of conservative punditry will not say it. But we do. We have a black-on-white crime problem in America. Does that mean that I'm saying that whites never commit crimes against black people? Absolutely not. But listen, again, as I could show you 12 straight hours of border crime footage from illegal border invaders committing crimes against Americans, I could show you 12 hours worth of Canadians telling you they can't afford their homes anymore.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're going to do 6 months from now, as Justin Trudeau just increased the carbon tax by 20-something percent. I could show you one black-on-white crime, criminal situation after another. And it's like, oh, you're a racist now. I'm not a racist. I'm showing the videos that are out there. If there are videos of systemic white people attacking black people, I will show it because it's equally as evil. Doing anything based on pigmentation of skin, melanin content in skin, is ridiculous on all levels. But we have a problem because the black community, it doesn't apply to everybody who's black. I just said the black community has been taught through DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion, or CRT, critical race theory, that they are licensed because every white person has inherent racism, so they are licensed to commit violent acts against them. Most black people don't act on it, but that's what they've been taught.
Yep.
By white liberals who are behind walls and cages and guns. So I could show you, maybe I need to just prove it to you, and show you 12 straight hours worth of black on white crime when you just have black kids walking up to white kids, or a lot of times it's five or six black kids attacking a white girl.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. Well, they were justified because she used the N-word. Nothing justifies violence outside of self-defense. And there is no video footage of anybody using the N-word. I'd play it. I'm not afraid to play anything. That's why only Midas Gold Group sponsors me. I'll play anything. So I wanted to delve into this because it shows you the racism, the reverse racism that's happening today was peeking its ugly head out in 1995. And wokeness video. This was Oprah Winfrey show. This was Oprah's audience reacting to O.J. Simpson's verdict in real time, 1995. Play it for me.
Case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information. Superior Court of the State of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the State of California versus Orenthal James Simpson. We, the jury, in the...
Now, listen, that was a mixed bag, was it not? There's plenty of white people that were rejoicing at O.J. Simpson being acquitted of murder, later subsequently found guilty. You have to have in a criminal trial proof beyond a reasonable doubt of guilt, and a civil trial preponderance of evidence. He was found in the civil trial to be guilty of homicide against Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman in order to pay millions of dollars that he never paid because he has it all in 401ks. So they can't, yeah, it can't be touched by a court settlement, but he had to pay some of it, but not most of it. He never paid and never will, obviously, but somehow they can confiscate his funds now, which hopefully they can for the Goldman family. Because he obviously committed the murder. Now, again, it's a mixed bag in that audience. You had plenty of left-hard women. This is a man, just so everybody knows. Just so you know, I'm going to show you a John Ziegler video. It's a little bit long. It's 4 minutes. John Ziegler, I'm telling you, I've had him on the show before, is one of the best investigative reporters on the planet. He's a rough and tough guy. There's no holds barred. He's a DeSantis guy. He's not a Trump guy. He says it like however he feels that he says it, but he's most of the time, John's right. But I'm going to let him elaborate on a different aspect of this, but everybody needs to remember something. In O.J. Simpson's house was the following. On his floor and on his socks, his blood, Nicole's blood, and Ron Goldman's blood. In his house, on his socks, and on his floor, and on his wall. And he was acquitted.
Oh, my gosh.
His blood, Nicole Brown Simpson's blood, and Ronald Goldman's blood was in his car. And he was found innocent. He had a massive laceration on his hand. And he was found innocent. Now, there's another component to this, John Ziegler video. I just couldn't take the O.J. Simpson might be innocence nonsense anymore. Play it for me, Will.
All right, O.J. Simpson is dead, and I'm associated somewhat with the case because of my relationship with Kim Goldman and my attacks on O.J. in public and the role I kind of played and why he was arrested in Las Vegas and an interview I did with Cato Kalin that was rather memorable. But I'm really getting irritated by some of these people who are claiming that O.J. Simpson was either innocent or somehow the jury verdict against him was legitimate because the case was weak. That's all horse crap. Complete and total BS. O.J. was extremely guilty in 100 different ways. You didn't need Mark Furman. You didn't even need DNA. There's so many ways to prove that O.J. Simpson is guilty. But let me give you one that no one ever mentions. And I think the prosecution clearly blew it on this. They blew it in a lot of ways, but particularly here. I think all you really need is the testimony of the limo driver, Alan Park. Here's the deal. Alan Park was to pick O.J. Simpson up at his house on Rockingham the night of the murders to take him to the airport. And when Alan Park showed up, he was looking for the address to make sure he was in the right place. And the numbers are on the side of the curb. And as he was looking in front of the house at Rockingham for the number on the curb, he found the number on the curb. And there was nothing else there. There was no car blocking the number, the street address on the curb. And he realized he was in the right place. And he turned the corner and he went into the driveway area where the gate was locked and waited for O.J. Simpson to respond to his call that he was there. Well, the reason why that's incredibly significant is that eventually a car, the white Ford Bronco, pulls up hastily parked right where the number would have been on the curb. Alan Park would have not only seen the Bronco if it was there when he showed up, he would have run into it because I've been on that street. It's one of the most narrow streets I've ever seen in my life. There's absolutely no chance that a limo and that Bronco could have shared the same street without Park being exceedingly aware of it. Impossible. So because the Bronco wasn't there, but it was there when they left, that means O.J. showed up at the last second. That means O.J. lied about where he was. It means he showed up at exactly when you would expect him to if he had been at the murder scene, because we know exactly how long it would have taken to get from the murder scene to his house. And the doors of that Bronco were locked. There was no way to get in there. There was no planted evidence in there. The blood of the two victims were inside the Bronco. So Alan Park's testimony alone, which is really just the tip of the iceberg of the evidence against O.J. Simpson, convicts him in any normal case. If that was a normal case and that's all you had was the testimony of Alan Park and the evidence of the blood inside the Bronco of the two victims, it's over. Game, set, match, legitimate conviction. O.J. Simpson is guilty as hell. Anybody who understands the case knows this. And it's absurd that seemingly intelligent people are trying to claim differently now that he's dead. Now, don't even get me started on the New York Times obituary or what the Heisman Trophy.
So a limo driver who's going to take O.J. Simpson to the airport on the evening of the murder. That's weird, isn't it? He pulls up and the white Ford Bronco isn't there because the white Ford Bronco would be blocking the number that's on the curve. So the number on the curve is not blocked by the white Ford Bronco. He finds the house, turns around, and there's the white Ford Bronco speedily shows up and blocks the number on the curve. So obviously when he gets there, the number on the curve is exposed. And when he turns around, the Ford Bronco is now blocking the number on the curve. So the Ford Bronco speedily shows up at the exact time of the murder with Ronald Goldman's blood on the inside of the car, with O.J. Simpson's blood on the inside of the car, with Nicole Brown Simpson's blood on the inside of the car. O.J. Simpson perjured himself and said that he was home prior to the limo driver showing up. None of which was true at all. I just want a simple answer to the question. How did their blood get everywhere? I'm just wondering. Oh, they planted it? That, by the way, that would also mean that that's all completely and totally impossible. Because the Bronco wasn't there from then to planet. He drove it up and there it was, right there. That's it. Truly amazing. But anyway, I want to show you this. Queen Katerina video breaking. O.J. Simpson dead at 76. A black juror from O.J.'s trial says she knew O.J. was guilty of murder but still let him off anyway. Play it for me.
Do you think that they're members of the jury that voted to acquit O.J. because of Rodney King?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
How many of you think felt that way?
Oh, probably 90% of them.
90%? Did you feel that way?
Yes.
That was payback.
Uh-huh.
You think that's right?
Do you think that's right? That, and by the way, that is exactly the way the court system functions today. So 90% of the jurors in this case, 90% of them voted to acquit O.J. Simpson because of what happened to Rodney King. And just to be fair, what happened to Rodney King was ridiculous. And I was a cop, and I'm a cop. And I was a cop then, a young one, but I was a cop then. I was trained then. I understand it. At least I think I was. I don't remember what exactly when Rodney King happened either. It had to be somewhere close to 95. Maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. But anyway, don't want to be inaccurate. But if it was somewhere in 94, I was a cop. Somewhere in 93, I was a cop. Half of 92, I was a cop because that's when it started. Aaron will find out for me. I can only hear you typing away over there. Yep. So I know he'll find it for me. But anyway, so she basically said that 90% of the jury acquitted O.J. Simpson as retribution for Rodney King. Which, by the way, Rodney King was, for those of you who don't think Rodney King was poorly treated, you're absolutely wrong. It's not police tactics at all. That's why I'm an equal opportunity offender, just so you know. It's not police tactics at all. I've never been taught. We have a great training section at the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office where I spent 25 years. We are never taught to surround somebody on the ground. Oh, so I wasn't a cop just yet. I was about a year and a half away from being a cop when Rodney King happened. So, because it was March of 1991, Rodney King.
Yep.
I became a cop in August of 92. But they don't train you to stand around a man on the ground with PR-24s and beat him into submission. What do you do? There's literally 25, 30 cops around him.
Yeah.
What do you do if you got a man on the ground and he was resisting? You just jump on top of him and pin him down. That's what you do. I mean, you don't sit there and comply. Right. Slam, slam, slam. Comply, slam, slam, slam. And this is before tasers, before everyone was carrying tasers. So it was that's the justice system doesn't work on the justice system doesn't work on revenge. The justice system doesn't work on retribution. The justice system works on precedent and case by case. That's how it works. What's the precedent and how does it apply case by case? So they acquitted O.J. Simpson. Because officers were acquitted in the Rodney King incident. That's not what you do. And she admits it. And that, do you think that's right? So, and by the way, just to smile, you can throw this away if you want. It's my opinion. I don't think OJ was the only one that was the only one who committed the murders. I know he committed the murders, but I think there's somebody else there with him. Because I mean, for somebody to do what they did, basically Nicole Brown Simpson was decapitated. And it's two people that you're killing in one of the biggest bloodbaths in criminal justice history. So I don't know. But because they acquitted him, case closed, over.
Yeah.
Look at this. Washington Examiner tweet. Just so you know where the Biden administration stands. Washington Examiner tweet. O.J. Simpson dead. White House sends thoughts and prayers, I'm assuming. Thoughts to former, I don't want to assign prayers on, I don't want to be inaccurate. But they send thoughts to the former football star's family. Is that what you do for somebody who spent 8 years in prison for armed robbery and everybody knows butchered two people? You know what you do is you just don't send anything.
Yeah.
You just let it go. But what are they doing? They think that they're bootlicking. I'm bootlicking and butt kissing. I get those intertwined. I end up with boot kissing, butt licking. That's not good. I've done that from the pulpit too at the church. So you gotta like be careful.
Yeah.
So they think that they're gonna get in some good licks on the boots of the black community. Black community all knows OJ's guilty. The juror just said we knew he was guilty. We acquitted him because the officers got off in the Rodney King incident.
Yeah.
So the White House really concerned about background checks for gun dealers and sending thoughts to O.J. Simpson's family. I hope that the Goldmans are able to extract more money out of O.J.'s accounts because he's still a multimillionaire. All right, let's change subjects. Let me do some Biden stuff real quick. This is my own tweet. Now, I would give credit to it because I stole this tweet off somebody else. I just pulled their information off of their tweet. And I wasn't even going to use it as my own tweet. I was just sending it. I know this is ridiculous. Some of you are going to think I'm immature, which I am. But I like to grab information. I just like carpet bomb it onto liberal Twitter accounts. And I put this on there. And then I decided I'm going to put out my own tweet. But I'd already lost the original tweet. But anyway, otherwise I would have given him credit. But since Biden took office, this is what we call in the TLP absolute freaking facts right now. Absolute facts. This is it. This is where we are at. Look at the date on the bottom. 4/10/24. It's today the 11th. So this is from yesterday.
Yep.
So this is the stats from yesterday. Since Biden took office. Now, most of you have probably seen this already. It went rather viral. All these stats did. Gasoline is up basically 50%. Groceries up 21%, eating out up 21%, baby food up 30%, pet food up 23%, rent up 20%, electricity up 28.3%. And by the way, I've heard some information about mortgages. Some mortgages have doubled.
Ugh.
Electricity up 28%, natural gas up 27%, used cars up 21%, airfare up 32%, public transportation up 22%. Real average. Now, they talk about earnings are up under the Biden administration. You know, they say that earnings are up. Because they mandate, what they're doing in California right now. You know, your guaranteed wage, what do you call it? I hate when I can't remember it.
What?
Minimum wage. Oh, okay. Minimum wage. They've now increased minimum wage in California, shutting down businesses. They give themselves credit for that, just so you know.
Right.
They don't count in that when they increase minimum wage, that it caused people to be fired. They still count the slots as being people that are still working. Look at, we've increased their wages, and they add that to their average. But even with the increases in minimum wage, which all that does is shut down businesses and make businesses turn to robotics instead and tech instead of people earning money, which is all part of the plan too. Make sure that you're bankrupt, put you into 15-minute city, your 500-square-foot house, your guaranteed monthly income, your 57 vaccinations, and you die when you're 52. That's what they want. You are the carbon they want to get rid of. But if you look at that bottom one, that's one of the most interesting parts of this. Real average weekly earnings are minus 4%. They keep claiming that that earnings are up. No, they're not up. If your wages go up 15%, but the cost of living goes up 47%, you've lost all of that. Say, I mean, if your wages go up 15%, your cost of living goes up 45%. You're down 30% in earnings, even though your wages went up 15%. Mm-hmm. So most people are earning 4% less than they used to. And even with that, just so everybody knows, that still doesn't account for inflation. You're earning less money. I mean, that is from inflation. So you're actually earning less money. Even when you're earning more money, you're earning less money. That's exactly what's happening. That is the Biden administration. Now, this is a great video. Benny Johnson video. He titles it Brutal Clip. This is great. I love it when Minka gets it. Morning Joe. Minka Fitzpatrick. That's the name, right? Is that her name? No, Minka. It's not Minka.
Minka.
It's not Fitzpatrick. I'm getting that confused with somebody else.
Brzezinski.
There we go. Minka from Brzezinski. You can tell how often I watch. All I ever see is her first name, so that's why I don't know. But I actually do watch quite a few clips from them. Actually, I don't watch the clips. I listen to them on Bannon's War Room. He plays them all the time. But this is an absolute brutal clip from Benny Johnson. And these are actual voters that are responding. Now, this, you couldn't be any more left-hard Goebbels media than Morning Joe with Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough. You couldn't be any more Mockingbird Media, Goebbels Media, Pravda Media. You couldn't be any more left-hard media than them. And they get absolutely roasted here. Play for me, Will.
I want to show two more. The undecided voters were also asked how they think President Biden is doing on the economy. Take a listen.
I think he's been absolutely disastrous for the economy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Just raise your hand if you think President Trump's policies on the economy would be better for your family personally. Raise your hand. All right. So that is everybody. President Biden argues that his economic record has been very good. He said President Trump's was not as good. What are you keying off of? Sean, since you had the best smile in Virginia, the second best smile, what are you keying off of to say President Trump's economic policies would be better for you?
I mean, my past performance of my 401k, I know it was post 2020 and everything kind of flipped around, but you can't blame everything on 2020 for forever.
We have areas here in Pennsylvania where it's just at a standstill right now. Like, things are supposed to be being built and the interest rates are just way too high for people to you know, invest and start moving around.
And Virginia, just staying with you, because Pennsylvania is near and dear to Joe Biden's heart. Are there Biden policies that you would blame for the problem? And if so, what are they?
The interest rate is so high right now. And I know they're trying to cut the inflation down. But like, if nobody is building, no businesses are really coming to Pennsylvania right now to keep us moving forward.
Even if you're trying to buy a house, because I'm trying to become a first time home buyer, the prices are so high right now. It's just hard.
Is there anything Joe Biden could do or say between now and the time you vote that would make you feel differently about feeling that his policies would not be as good for your family on the economy? Or have you pretty much decided that Trump's policies would be better for the economy?
I mean, I feel like he doesn't even take accountability for what's at all with what's going on in the economy. Not even accountability. Like, he's in denial that it's happening.
The point is, Biden needs to hear the people, because when he's talking about the economy doing stellar, he's talking about the stock market. He's not looking at homelessness or joblessness. He's not, at Angie's point, thinking about how much it costs to go to the grocery store. And he's gaslighting literally everyone in the process.
Okay. And Omar, you voted for Joe Biden last time, right?
Yeah.
Some really important and hard insights for the Biden campaign to hear there. And hearing all that, you might think things are pretty bad for President Biden. That was not good.
Now, before I start yelling and screaming about what we just saw, I don't do this unless we get close. We're at 965 people that are on right now. If you're on Facebook, you're like, where are all these viewers at? And you're like, Tom, there's only like 58 people watch this because I've been banned on Facebook over and over again. You used to have 900 people watching live on Facebook alone, but they banned me off of Facebook and shadow banned me. So fake book. But if you're wondering where they all are, they're at, we have 700 and close to 800 watching live on Rumble right now. And once we get close, I start pushing. Now, McGroin Nation, I need you again. McGroin Nation, I need you. And I appreciate you guys so much. I'd be calling you out more right now, but I forgot my freaking iPad, so I don't know what's going on in the chat. But push it. We're close. We're at 965. The all-time record is 1,077. So we're only 113 people away from breaking the record, or tying the record, 114 from breaking the record. All-time record on Rumble is 921 watching. So like and share. Get this out to as many people as you possibly can. Get them on. It does increase viewership. You guys are doing it. You're the ones who do it. It certainly isn't my sterling personality that attracts them. It's all you guys. So get it out there. Get it out to as many people as you possibly can. All right, back to that video. Just showing I had Aaron and Will encapsulate. Look at that. These are, Aaron, did you figure out what the two-way and Wick Insights was?
Yeah, they're like... Oh, gosh. Now I'm blanking.
Aaron's blanking now. I got him doing too many things. When you think of it, just let me know.
Yeah.
But these are, of course, undecided voters. These are people who are going to vote right here. And you saw the bearded guy on the left. He said he was a Biden voter. And they just all, how many of you believe that Trump's policies were better for you fiscally than Biden's policies? 100% on Mika and Joe. How bad can it get for Joe Biden? And he's losing in every, no matter what Dr. Jill Biden says, he's losing in every battleground state right now. But focus groups. It's a focus group title. Is what two-way and Wick Insights is.
Two different focus groups.
So merged together. So he's losing in every battleground state right now. Now, we need to be happy about that, but also remembering what I told you about Texas. Just leave all this up. What I told you about Texas was that they are registering voters in Texas using only the final four digits of anybody on Earth's Social Security card. You're like, or Social Security number. You're like, what's the problem, Tom? Only Americans have Social Security numbers. And nope. They hand you it's basically a blank Social Security card when you come into the United States of America as an illegal border invader. They hand you a Social Security card that's blank on the back, but has your Social Security number. And all you have to do to register to vote in the state of Texas, let alone in New York or Illinois, Washington, and Oregon, in the state of Texas, all you need is the last four of your Social Security number, and you can register to vote. That's not proof of citizenship. So all of those votes are felonies. So everybody knows. And the people who are registering them to vote are committing felony crimes. So everybody knows. If you are a Republican who are registering people based on the last four digits of their Social Security number, knowing that they issue those numbers to illegal border invaders, you are committing a felony crime, as well as the person voting is committing a felony crime. So everybody knows. And unless these things are dealt with, if you are a bigwig and you're watching this right now, and even if you're not a bigwig and it's just you and me, we need to get word to Laura Trump and the RNC, because now the RNC is actually a political activist group, an actual activist group for you and I. They need to get down there and get lawsuits in place, not on November 10th, now, to stop this from happening, because they've already registered 250,000 people using only the last four digits of Social Security number. You're going to win in Texas? We can be as excited as we want about poll numbers and Donald Trump, and I love Trump. He's awesome. I know the abortion stuff going on in Arizona right now. I'm waiting to let that sort of settle in to see exactly what happened with exactly what's going to happen, because it's a territorial provision that the Supreme Court of Arizona is enforcing. So if you're wondering, Tom, are you backing off? No, listen, I believe there should be a federal abortion ban. It's murder. So everybody knows where I stand. 1,000%. But what happens is that, and I know I'm jumping off target right now, but I know, but what happens is, and when you're dealing with political expediency, if you have saboteurs inside of the Republican Party, like Lindsey Graham, what Lindsey Graham always pulls on the eve, and I mean that symbolically, of national elections, is he suddenly comes out, he doesn't give two craps about a federal abortion ban until 3 weeks in front of the election, and then starts touting a federal abortion ban to gin up support for Democrats. I believe we should have a federal abortion ban, period. I believe in federalism, that it should be banned in every state. I believe all of that, just so you know, 100%. Murder is murder, period. But you don't start it 3 weeks outside to that's basically like giving bulletin board material to your Super Bowl opponent. There's some political tactics involved here. Does that make sense, Aaron?
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, if we're going to have a federal abortion ban, then let's tout it 365, 24/7, 365, which I believe in 100%, which basically I do already.
Yeah, true.
But I don't just spin it up on the eve of an election.
Mm-hmm.
They know that's where I stand all the time. And Trump is not for a federal ban. He's for what he did with Roe v. Wade, which was to bring it back to the states. That's where we are right now, just so everybody knows. And I'm not backing off a federal abortion ban. It should be that way. That's the way it should be. But that's not where we're set up right now. We'd have to reinstitute a SCOTUS case, which I'm fine with. Abby Johnson is coming out, and I'm a huge Abby Johnson fan, virulently against Trump on what he did and what he's saying about Arizona. But the thing is, there's not much we can do right now unless we're not going to get to the SCOTUS in 2024. We want a federal abortion ban. Right now, what's happened is they overturned Roe v. Wade. We got to give Trump credit where credit is due. He overturned Roe v. Wade. You can bring it back to me. Well, I've left, made you. It's not your fault. It's my fault. Donald Trump overturned Roe v. Wade for all intents and purposes. He overturned Roe v. Wade. So now we are in a federalist state, where the states are deciding. Now, we have federal bans. By the way, just so everybody knows, marijuana is federally banned. It is. It's against the law federally, but states don't enforce it.
Yep.
So if we want to go after a federal ban on abortion, I'm 100% behind that. But right now, it's purposeless to even talk about. And we're winning. Hundreds of thousands of babies' lives have already been saved by the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Hundreds of thousands, because a lot of states responded to it with 15-week abortion bans, can't have an abortion post 15 weeks. That's what DeSantis has done in Florida and numerous other states. And women have decided, you know what? I'm just not going to get an abortion. I'm telling you, hundreds of thousands of babies' lives have already been saved in a nation that executes 1.2 million babies a year. I'm all for a federal ban, but there's nothing we can do about it in 2024, so we might as well not stoke the flames of Democrats. And why this, you know, the Supreme Court did what it did in Arizona, which basically went back to a 1878, 1846, whatever it is, 18-something, territorial ban on abortion. They're 100% correct, but it's kind of weird that they're doing it now on the even election in a very purple state with a purple Supreme Court that voted 4-2 with one person recusing themselves. It's kind of weird. I'm all in favor of the ban, It's just questionable timing. But even with the questionable timing, just so everybody knows, I'm all in favor of the ban. I'm all in favor. Listen, babies should not be getting killed. Well, it's my body, my choice. It ain't your body. That's somebody else's body in there. And before God formed them in your womb, he knew them. That is a free agent in there. This person exists outside of you. So just so everybody knows, I'm 1,000% in favor of what Arizona has done. They can get down to figuring out the territorial stuff and how it applies specifically to the state of Arizona. That's what I'm talking about. Waiting and seeing how it is that they're going to settle that. Even Trump talked about that. Trump is not Mr. Pro-Life, but he's done more for pro-lifers than any pro-life president. I mean, everybody realizes he's not been Mr. Pro-Life his whole life, but he's the only president that overturned Roe v. Wade.
Yep.
We had pro-life George W. Bush, you know, pro-life Herbert Walker Bush, pro-life Ronald Reagan. They didn't overturn Roe v. Wade. Trump had to do it. Just like all those presidents that I just named promised they were going to move the embassy to Jerusalem and never did it.
That's right.
Only Trump did it. So we as pro-lifers, Trump is not 1,000% pro-life. He's not. But he's done more for us. He's the only president in history to ever show up to the pro-life march in D.C. Only one. Not Herbert Walker Bush, not George W. Bush, not Mitt Romney, nobody. Not Ronald Reagan, nobody but him. So even though he may not be pro-life to my level, he's done more for me in the pro-life area than any other president in history. So anyways, all that makes sense, Aaron?
Yeah.
All right, change the subjects. Going to the FBI now, which is the title of the podcast, and we're 9:32. Let me do Midas real quick. Midas Gold Group, give me 60 seconds on this, and then we're going to launch into the FBI stinks to high heaven. I mean, they stink. They rot. They remind me, just leave this up, more publicity for Midas Gold, the better.
Yeah.
They remind me of one time I pulled over to help a motorist on the side of the road in my police car, and I ran over a putrid armadillo and like rolled up, got like into, you know, the area, my wheel well rolled around in there. It flew out, but it stunk for days and days and days until finally I'm like, how could it even, there's nothing here. For it to stink, it's just the essence of it stunk. That's the FBI. They stink. They are the Gestapo for the Democratic Party and the globalist left. They are corrupt to the core. Nobody cares about it except for the 1,014 people that are watching right now. Great job. We are close. We are close. Keep on liking and sharing. We only need another about 64 people, and we broke the record. You guys will be part of two consecutive record-breaking nights on a Thursday, which has never happened before. And Will be here, and that'll completely exonerate Will from being our bad luck charm. The Midas Gold Group, love Midas Gold, my one and only sponsor. You can probably tell why I don't exactly attract sponsors like Moth to a Flame because of the things that I say and the way that I say them. But Midas Gold Group, my one and only sponsor, love them. They are a MAGA company. Not a conservative company, not a Republican company, a MAGA company, and they deal exclusively in physical gold, not phantom gold, physical gold, not phantom gold, physical gold in your hands. I buy gold, it's in my hand. And in these days of hyperinflation and the BRICS movement, the de-dollarization of the globe, the devaluing of the USD, we need to have gold backing. And all those BRICS nations, and even the United States, as it hyperinflates your currency and tries to bankrupt you into governmental dependency, they're buying gold. Everybody's buying gold. And guess what? If everybody's buying gold, And they're the ones who issue the Chinese yuan. That's the BRICS movement. It's trying to move us away from the USD into the Chinese yuan. They're all buying gold. Our government's buying gold. That means gold will always be worth something, like real estate. Mm-hmm. It'll always be worth something. Buy your gold. I'm buying gold. You buy gold. What do? Buy it from a MAGA company. Veteran-owned, veteran-operated, MAGA-owned, MAGA-operated, Midas Gold Group. Buy it from them. And when you do, tell them the TLP sent you. The FBI stinks to high heaven. One American News video, FBI whistleblower Steve Friend. Play it for me, Will.
Steve, thanks for coming on. Let's get right to it. Your colleagues are being taught that us pro-lifers are the threat to democracy.
Well, we certainly were in 2014, wow, a decade ago, when I was at the FBI Academy. We were asked to watch a video by the Southern Poverty Law Center, a far-left organization, yeah, that should not be sourced by America's quote-unquote premier law enforcement agency, self-appointed. And in that video, they listed pro-life activists higher up than radical Islamic jihadists as a threat of domestic terrorism within the United States. And you know, at the time, you know, just being a new agent trainee and trying to get out, you kind of view it as, well, the real world will be different. And in fact, it was to some extent. But now, as we're finding out through the recruiting process, the FBI is all about the diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they're finding people of that sort of mindset, which is why they're able to send dozens of agents to go after a Mark Hauck in Philadelphia when he pledged that he would be cooperative with them after state and local officials didn't charge him with any crime. The FBI saw fit to charge him. And you have similar things happening in the state of Tennessee. Paul Vaughn, who's been charged, is now convicted by a jury in Tennessee and is facing sentencing upwards of 11 years because he stood outside an abortion clinic and had a conversation with police officers.
See, that's a federal offense. You stand outside of an abortion clinic and talk to police officers.
Wow.
That's a federal offense. And this Mark Hauck case, local prosecutors turned down the case. Local cops turned down the case. All local authorities turned down the case. This is the guy who ended up pushing a pro-choice activist who was threatening his son. So he pushed him away. That's all that he did. The cops didn't charge him with battery. The state police didn't charge him with battery. Nobody. The FBI swoops in and charges him with battery. Of course, he was exonerated. And then Stephen Friend tells you that he was trained as an FBI agent to consider pro-lifers more of a threat to democracy than radical Islam. Then Sharia law, which outlaws the Constitution. So a pro-lifer who is activating on the constitutional rights of the unborn is more of a threat than a person who wants to institutionalize Sharia law. Imagine that, who wants to throw gay people off of five-story buildings just like they do. Yeah, queers for Palestine. I bet you better learn to fly. you better start right now, right, brothers? You better learn to fly. You better hope Sharia law never gets instituted wherever you live. Now, this video, I just wanted to replay it. For some reason, it was circulating hardcore around social media today because it just really shows you exactly where the FBI is at. Elise Stefanik, the FBI Director Ray, are you aware there's audio recording? Remember now, audio recording of Joe Biden saying to his ghostwriter, in February of 2016, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs. Now, let me elaborate on this because it's not covered in the video. Not only did Joe Biden say to his ghostwriter, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, Joe Biden went and got all the classified stuff downstairs and read it to his ghostwriter on audio recording, and his ghostwriter tried to delete it so that it couldn't get to it in a congressional hearing. And when it was deleted, but they had the transcripts of it. So everybody knows. So when she's talking about this with Christopher Wray, he knows all of this. There's no way, again, that Joe Biden is not guilty of being in illegal possession of classified documents. And there's no way that Donald Trump is guilty of being in possession of classified documents because a president automatically declassifies classified documents upon his. He can just say that he can say, for now on, whenever I do this, that declassified document. They're declassified. I'm not kidding either. That's exactly. He can do it. Anything I wave a wand over is declassified. It's classified.
It's true.
You got Bill Clinton's classified documents on cassette tapes in his sock drawer. Hussein Obama has got 144,000 documents that he's refused to turn over to NARA. Yep. They don't care about that. That's weird, isn't it? How long's Barack been out of office now? Since 16? It's 2024? 8 years later? He's still not turned in one of those documents yet. He owes 144,000 documents to FARA. Oh, I mean, Archives, National Archives.
Yeah.
NARA.
NARA.
FARA violation. It gets confusing with these acronyms. So the National Archives, he refuses to turn in this 144,000 documents to NARA. And they're asking for him. But weird, he doesn't get criminally charged. Everybody needs to realize this is not some sort of right-wing conspiracy thing. This is where the pseudo-Christians, the weak-kneed Christians, the bent-over, ankle-grabbing, butt-cheek-grabbing Christians, this is where you fall. It's because it doesn't touch you, you think it's a conspiracy theory. If you don't deal with it while it's still a conspiracy theory in your mind, it's going to reach out and touch you. Because right now we have an absolute non-blind, unequal system of justice. We have a Gestapo-style system of justice. It's supposed to be a blind system of justice where just the facts and just the data and just the evidence speaks to guilt or innocence. But right now it's, if you're this political party, you're automatically innocent. If you're this political party, you're automatically guilty. If you're this political party, the Democratic Party, we won't even investigate you. If there is even a whiff of anything that can be in any way tacitly connected to anything criminal, you'll be investigated by the FBI and then charged with obstruction when you don't know an answer to a question. So here's Elise Stefanik to Christopher Wray. Play for me, Will.
Do you believe Joe Biden mishandled classified information?
I'm not going to discuss the report. That's the special counsel's report, and I've referred
it. In your opinion as director of the FBI, do you believe he mishandled classified information?
Again, I'm just going to refer to the report, and the special counsel can speak for himself on his report.
Are you aware, and this is breaking news right now, are you aware that there's an audio recording of Joe Biden saying to his ghostwriter in February of 2016, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote. Are you aware of that audio recording?
I would just respectfully refer you to the special counsel.
No, I'm asking you, are you aware as director of the FBI? You're either aware or you're not.
I'm aware. Am I aware of what now?
Whether the audio exists of Joe Biden saying in February 2017, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote, to his ghostwriter.
Again, I'm just going to refer to the special counsel and his testimony and his report.
It sounds like you might be aware of it then.
You can answer that question just so everybody knows. I mean, she didn't ask him to give just specific, very specific details on different investigative measures that were done or specific investigative details or details of the investigation.
Right.
She wasn't asking him to give any details of the investigation, simply asking, are you aware that there is a news report that Joe Biden said to his ghostwriter, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs. Are you aware that that's being reported? I'm not going to comment on that. I'm going to refer to the special counsel's report. You can comment on that. Right. You can say, yes, I'm aware. Or you say, yes, I'm aware, and I'm not going to comment any further.
Right, exactly.
And by the way, now can he answer that question? Do you believe that Joe Biden mishandled classified documents? Really, he can't answer that because he hasn't personally or specifically investigated himself. He knows that he did. But he's exonerated from having to answer that. But he can very, very easily answer the following question. Are you aware that there's an audio recording of Joe Biden saying his ghostwriter in February of 2016 saying, I just found the classified stuff downstairs? You can answer whether or not you've heard of that or not. There's no reason not to answer that. Now, here's a Steve Friend tweet. That was the original video we showed you on my FBI Stinks to High Heaven section of the show. The FBI, no, this is what the FBI is concentrating on. Again, let me lay this out for you. 107,000 people die a year of fentanyl poisoning. We got that. We have a rampant increase in felonious crimes all throughout the United States. We have murderers and rapists streaming through the southern border like there is no tomorrow. Child rapists. Child traffickers. We have a child trafficking problem inside the United States of America. We have a racial problem and racial tension in the United States of America, namely black on white crime that's happening in America. But what is the FBI concentrating on? Here you go. Steve Friend, whistleblower out of the FBI, former FBI agent. The FBI has 9 separate diversity advisory committees. Oh my gosh. Thank goodness, because I know that Christopher Wray right now is talking about terrorist cells crossing the southern border. Whew. Thank goodness We have nine separate diverse. It's hard for you to put out the words here to say the words. Diversity advisory committees. Diversity advisory committees. I got to say it. Maybe I'll get it where I can say it fast. I mean, we have Christopher Wray is actually coming out right now and saying basically we're at threat level red right now. I'm just making the red part up. We're at a terrorist threat level that basically we haven't seen in decades right now because of Joe Biden's open southern border. But thank goodness the FBI is now applying all of its power to nine separate diversity advisory committees, which report directly to Christopher Wray. So Christopher Wray can't answer from Elise Stefanik, are you aware that there's an audio recording of Joe Biden saying to his ghostwriter in February of 2016, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs. He can't answer that question. He can't answer that, but so he won't directly deal with that. But these nine diversity advisory committees all report directly to Christopher Wray. He can't answer a question from Elise Stefanik, but he definitely directly answers to it, not his nine DEI committees that report to him in the FBI. That's what's important to him. Not the 107,000 people that have died of fentanyl poison. Not the murderers, rapists, child traffickers, fentanyl traffickers that are crossing the southern border every single day by the thousands. None. The people crossing are by the thousands, probably hundreds. More people on the terrorist watch list have been found under Joe Biden in a year than all of the other presidents combined. I'm talking about all of Trump's years, Obama's years, and Bush years combined in 1 year under Joe Biden. It went from an average of five or less under Donald Trump, 0 to 5 under Donald Trump, people that are caught at the southern border on the terrorist watch list, to a high of 169 under Joe Biden. But the FBI is really concerned about diversity to the place where there's nine separate diversity. I mean, couldn't you have stopped at four? Couldn't you have four separate diversity advisory committees? I mean, couldn't you have stopped at three? Couldn't you stop to seven? The FBI is nine. Nine separate diversity advisory committees, which report directly to Christopher Wray, which are taxpayer funded, why are taxpayers funding this woke agenda? Taxpayer funded. Defund the FBI. Exactly. FBI jobs. Look at the bottom. This is what the FBI puts out on social media. This is what you and I pay for the FBI to send this, to put this out on social media. By engaging with diversity advisory committees, nine of which, such as the Near and Middle East Advisory Committee, you can champion initiatives that enhance your growth. You can just grow my butt. What a bunch of idiots. I mean, seriously. And I just wanted to bring this up. You bring it back to me, Will. Aaron, did you have something, by the way? I saw you flash on.
I was just going to say they need to have nine because there's so many illegals coming into the country, and they have to make sure that it's a diverse group of terrorists coming in.
Yeah, you know, diverse. You want Chinese terrorists, Dagestani terrorists, Pakistani terrorists,
and rapists,
Venezuelan terrorists, Costa Rican terrorists, Mexican terrorists. We got to make sure we got them so they have a lot of diversity in terrorism.
Yeah, equal outcome.
Equal opportunity terrorists. But just so you know, with tax dollars being spent, all you know, your tax dollars, you and I fund the FBI, not to protect us from fentanyl and illegal child traffickers and rapists, and felonious crime, murder rate up 25%, felonious crime up 40%. Not the FBI can't be bothered about that. They have nine diversity advisory committees that report directly to Christopher Wray. That's his priority one. That just shows you where our tax dollars are going. Just this is an example for this with this Arizona abortion fight. And whenever I talk about abortion, the viewership goes way down. I know. You should be concerned about 41.2 million people being murdered in the womb and outside the womb every year, by the way. That should trump all other conspiracy theories because that's actual murders. But what's happening right now in Arizona with this abortion fight, Planned Parenthood has pledged $60 million against Carrie Lake and any pro-life candidate in Arizona. $60 million that Planned Parenthood is pledging. So you and I are sending $60 million there because their sole funding comes from you and me. $600 million a year of our taxpayer dollars, that was what Trump cut. So that was at Trump cut that completely and totally on day one. He no longer funded Planned Parenthood or international abortions. So he cut it. But basically in 2016, it was $600 million. What it is now, I don't know. But that was what it was. $600 million goes to Planned Parenthood. 10% of that, that's all taxpayer dollars. 10% of that is going to Arizona to fight against pro-life candidates. Wow. So you and I are funding Planned Parenthood campaigning against pro-life candidates. truly amazing, right? I mean, truly, truly amazing. All right, now this is off the FBI, but it's just kind of tacitly attached to him. It's not off the FBI because it has to do with FISA, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. Now, everybody remember what FISA stands for. And if sometimes you see it as FISA, you see it as FISC, which is Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, because all the FISA applications for FISA warrants go to the FISA court, which they used during the one-hop, using the one-hop rule off of Carter Page to get the warrants to spy on Donald Trump, which were all felonious. We're all, literally felonious by both the people that were applying for them, and if the judges knew, the judges themselves. If they didn't know, but the judges probably didn't know because the FBI was lying when they got the FISA warrants against Trump. But suddenly now, and I know most of you have already seen this already, we keep flirting with over 1,000. Got over 1,000 viewers right now. Great job, everybody. Really love you guys. Love you. Everyone needs to go to McGroin Nation and go on there and see what they're doing. It's great stuff. Aaron, if you can, give me that cutout again of McGroin Nation and we'll put it up whenever you can. We'll put it up before we go. But suddenly, Speaker Mike Johnson, and everybody ever watched videos of Mike Johnson fervently against FISA? Why was Mike Johnson fervently against FISA? Did anybody know? Because what happens is, again, goes back to the one-hop rule. It's Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Acts, which basically came as a ramification of 9/11, came as a fruit of 9/11. What it's supposed to be is that you are surveilling foreign operations. But what happens is if any foreign operation or any foreigner has any contact with Americans, the FBI then feels like under FISA, they can now spy on the American because the American answered a phone call from somebody. Not that the American is doing anything wrong, answered a phone call from someone. So they, then of course, they use it. They use it, again, what I tell you, is any sort of nefarious, tacit, just absolutely, thinly connected connection to some crime. I don't even want to call them. I'm watching my words because it's not even crimes, because this is how they screwed over General Flynn, how they screwed over Donald Trump. Because they'll say, you know, General Flynn was talking to foreign adversaries. Well, he had to talk to foreign adversaries because he was coming in as Trump's intel chief. So he had to. So it's some sort of tacit connection to something nefarious is used to launch FBI investigations, but only if you're a right winger. You can have a Chinese spy as your limo driver for 20 years, like Dianne Feinstein, the FBI leaves you alone. You can be Eric Swalwell, or as Alex Jones calls him, Swallowswell. You can have Eric Swallowswell banging a Chinese spy who the FBI tries to reach out and get a hold of Fang Fang, and she flees to China. And Swallowswell is still on the Intel Committee.
Yeah.
Imagine if that was anybody else. I mean, imagine that was not anybody else. Anybody on the right side of politics. But Mike Johnson was against these FISA warrants and this FISA court and these FISA applications and this and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. He's against the act itself because of how they would use that to then spy on Americans. If you just have, like, you got some Muslim group out of New York, and they're doing robocalls, and you get run of their robocalls. Now the FBI feels like they can launch an investigation against you. That's what FISA was doing. And what I mean is, they can deep dive and read all your emails, read all your text messages, all your phone calls through FISA. That's what was happening. It was exposed by a white hat inside of the NSA.
Yeah.
NSA has been collecting all of our data for decades. So FISA has been used to spy on Americans, and Mike Johnson was trying to get rid of it. But suddenly he's changed. Watch this video. Play for me.
When I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security. And it gave me a different perspective. So I encourage all the members to go to the classified briefing and hear all that and see it so they can evaluate the situation for themselves. And I think... some opinions have changed both ways, but that's part of the process. You got to be fully informed.
Have you been?
Well, what a bent over cuckboy. I mean, seriously, what a bent over cuckboy. He knows what the FBI is doing. He knows exactly what the FBI is doing. He knows that the FBI is using FISA to spy on Americans. He knows it. He knows what the FBI did with the Collusion Oaks. He knows what the FBI is doing with J6 defendants. He knows what the FBI is doing with pro-life supporters. He's supposed to be an evangelical Christian himself, but he's typical. Typical evangelical Christian who has no connection to the Bible. No connection to integrity. They worship a Jesus of their own creation that's manifested the gray matter between their ears instead of the Word of God, which is Jesus. So, I mean, Mike Cuckboy Johnson, he spends all of his years fighting against FISA, and then he gets one earful from Christopher Wray and just bends over and doesn't just grab, he starts with grabbing his ankles and slides all the way up his legs and grabs his butt cheeks, spreads them wide, and lets Christopher Wray inject his butt with a giant turkey baster full of lies and just turns around. On a dime, as congressman, he's fervently against FISA. As Speaker of the House, he's fervently in favor of FISA all of a sudden because he's had the truth exposed to him. He knows what the FBI is on and about doing right now. He knows Christopher Wray lies time after time after time in all of these hearings. He knows Christopher Wray refuses to answer the question, hey, Christopher Wray, did you have any FBI agents dressed up in Trump gear inside the Capitol prior to the Capitol breach? Christopher Wray, did you have any FBI agents or assets inside of the J6 crowd? I can't answer that question. It's an ongoing investigation. He knows it's a Fed's direction. What did they do? How did they get a hold of? What did they do to Mike Johnson? What did they do to him? Is he bought off, paid off, honeypotted? What happened? Why is it that every single time this happens to every right-wing politician, that we get him in there, they campaign at home under right-wing ideology, and then go and legislate as a left-winger? Who gets to these people, or are they frauds to begin with? I don't know. It's one of the two. Mm-hmm. All right, let's cover Dearborn, Michigan before we leave tonight. 9:56, might have a few minutes of overtime here. Proud Army Brat video. America, let me set this up with this video. America took them in. Play it for me.
Last week, at an anti-Israel rally in Dearborn, Michigan, a crowd of Arab protesters erupted into chants of death to America.
Pour all of your chants and all of your shouts upon the head of America.
El Monte America! El Monte America! El Monte America!
The chants were not in English, they were in Arabic. These were recent arrivals, men and women that we had invited into our country as guests. America took them in. We gave them refuge in the heartland of our country. They live on our land. They attend our schools. They use our healthcare, and they're protected by our laws. And yet, they proudly call for the death of our country. For decades, America has had the most generous immigration system in the world. But today, in places like Dearborn, that generosity is being repaid with hatred. Countries that want to survive don't tolerate things like this. America shouldn't either.
There we go. So that just sets it up. Just so that's Dearborn, Michigan. Most of you have already seen this stuff. Most of you, I just had to cover it, make sure that people did see it that didn't see it. So here's Congressman Rashida Tlaib. This is her district, by the way. Democrat out of Michigan. This is her, Dearborn, Michigan is her district. She's asked by a Fox News correspondent, mischief video, Congresswoman and terrorist supporter, which she is. Rashida Tlaib refuses to denounce her terrorist constituents chanting death to America. Should she be removed from Congress? Absolutely. Play it for me, Will.
Congresswoman Tlaib.
Fox News. I don't talk to Fox News.
At a rally in your district, people were chanting death to America. Do you condemn?
I talk to Fox News.
But do you condemn chants of death to America?
I don't talk to people that use racist tropes.
Why can't you just say whether or not you condemn people chanting death to America? Why are you afraid to talk to Fox?
Fox News is not, listen, using racist tropes towards my community is what Fox News is about, and I don't talk to Fox News.
Is death to America racist? Is chanting death to America racist?
I'm talking about your guys' racist tropes.
She can't answer the question. And by the way, you know, people will say all the time, again, this is controversial to say, but I'm saying it as usual. It's why I only have one sponsor. Is people will say, you know, it's radical Islam. Listen, it is radical. But if you talk to any person who is Islamic, with some exceptions, maybe, you have radical Islam, but you ask regular everyday Islamists to denounce radical Islam, watch what happens. They won't do it. They support what radical Islam does without doing it themselves. Mm-hmm. That's really where it's at. But she, I mean, this is not a Fox News issue for Rashida Tlaib. Who gets caught regularly supporting terrorist groups tacitly?
Yeah.
She gets caught. That's who she is. She is a wretched, horrible supporter of terrorism and anti-Semite. That's who she is. But simply ask, got nothing to do with Fox News. Very easy question, just like with Christopher Wray. Christopher Wray, were you aware that Joe Biden said to his ghostwriter, I found all the classified information downstairs? Were you aware that Joe Biden said that? It's a yes or no question. You're either aware of it or not. He refuses to answer it. She's asked simply, will you denounce people saying death to America in your own freaking district of Dearborn, Michigan? Newly imported illegal border invaders with no paperwork. I'm sure they got their four-digit Social Security number, though. Last four digits of Social Security. Registering to vote in Michigan, I'm sure. And all the Republicans think we're going to win. It's going to be a red wave. Careful. They're registering voters using Social Security numbers. That's all you need. It's just like they do in California. That's why California is so blue. It's not really as blue as everybody thinks it is. It's probably more 55-45 blue instead of 70-30 blue or 80-20 blue. It's because in the state of California, anybody can get a driver's license, and guess what you need to register to vote? Driver's license. You can get a driver's license as an illegal. That's why they say, we're not registering illegal voters. We're not registering illegal voters. No, we're just giving them, we're giving illegals driver's licenses. So that's almost like a one-hop rule denial.
Yeah.
We're not registering illegals. Oh, well, you're not officially registering illegals. You're just making it legal for illegals to register to vote. You're just enabling illegals to vote, which is probably what's happening in Michigan too. But if she's just simply asked a question, will you denounce these constituents of yours that are saying death to America and death to Israel? Got nothing to do with racist tropes on Fox. And notice how she can't name any of them. It's like when they say, you know, Trump's a totalitarian. Trump wants to be a dictator. What legislation did Trump push forward that was dictatorial in nature? Name it, please. Authoritarian nature. Please name it. Can you just name it? Name one racist thing Trump's ever said. Ever. Name one act of racist legislation Trump ever tried to initiate. Please just name it for me. They can't. It's like she can't answer the question.
Yeah.
Death to America, Rashida Tlaib. Will you denounce that? I won't. I don't talk to Fox News. That's because you know why? She wants death to America. She wants death to Israel, and she wants death to America. You watch everything that happened in Dearborn. It's death to Israel, death to America. Bill Malugin tweet, just so you know, here's what's happening at the southern border. Just goes along with the terrorist narrative that Rashida Tlaib loves. That's why she wants. This is why Rashida Tlaib wants an open border. What's this thing I got right here? Oh, yeah, I got to get to this one thing before I go. I'm going to do this one. I got to do at least one more after this. 3 minutes into overtime. New at NBC News reporting on Afghan, reporting an Afghan on the FBI terror watch list. Here's another one. Has spent almost a year in the U.S. That's weird. On the terror watch list. Has been in the United States for a year. He was caught and released by Border Patrol at the California Gavin Newsom border in March of 2023, basically a year ago. So he's been, just so Will knows, Will fought for our country in Iraq against terrorists. Just so Will knows for you and your family that we've had since March of 2023 a terrorist walking around the United States of America. How? NBC reports that we've had thousands upon thousands of our Marines, Army, Navy, die overseas to fight against terrorists that we're now allowing to walk around the United States unfettered. NBC reports the watch list shows he is a member of the, I'm not even going to try, Aaron, you try, Hezbollah Islami.
Yeah.
A U.S. designated terrorist group responsible for the deaths of at least 9 American soldiers and civilians in Afghanistan. NBC reports that in February, the FBI tipped off ICE that he may be a national security threat and ICE later arrested him in San Antonio, Texas. ICE did their job, right? Great. He was held in ICE detention until his court hearing 2 weeks ago when a federal immigration judge ordered he be released. So I got that wrong. He hasn't been out. He got out 2 weeks ago. Until his court hearing 2 weeks ago when a federal immigration judge, remember now, okay, oh man, I see I'm already 4 minutes in overtime. Aaron, I'm at immigration judge. Let me forget.
Yep.
This is what Joe Biden wanted under his border security bill. He wants more of these immigration judges because the border security bill was the border insecurity bill and the border infiltration bill. So he wants to hire more of these judges and he calls it border security. These immigration judges that just release illegals into the community as fast as they possibly can. That's Joe Biden's and the Democratic Party's border security bill. And I mean, I could spend literally 10:05 until 11:05 on the border security bill alone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to do that. He was held in ICE detention until his court hearing 2 weeks ago when a federal immigration judge ordered he be released on bond despite ICE prosecutors arguing he's a flight risk. So Joe Biden wants more of these immigration judges. That's Joe Biden's whole platform. If you listen to his border policies, his border initiatives, whatever you want to call them, while he was campaigning.
Yeah.
He is now out on bond, able to roam the United States for 2 weeks now with another court date, don't worry, next year. So a member of the Hezbi Islami who killed 9 American soldiers and civilians in Afghanistan is now roaming the streets for the last 2 weeks, and he ain't got to worry about anything until 2025. He's just out roaming the streets. And Joe Biden told you that this is my border belief system. These are my border policies. This is how my administration will deal with the border, as I want to get as many of these federal immigration judges because I want to, because they say, the border has been broken for a long time. We're in need of comprehensive border reform. No, we just need to shut the border down, which he has statutory authority to do right now.
Yep.
But instead, he wants to just hire more judges. Send more judges. Flood the border, both with illegals and judges, and get as many judges as you can with as many illegals as you can so we can facilitate them across the border as fast as possible. That's the Biden administration. All right, Will, we're going to skip that next one, that breaking 9/11 video. Skip that one and go to the next one, the Donald Trump Truth Post. I had to show you this. You may have missed it. You may not have missed it. Aaron, blow it up as big as you possibly can for I can actually read it, but make it as big as you can for me. Donald Trump put the, that's great for everybody. I wanted everybody to see this because everybody knows we got the Alvin Bragg, Stormy Daniels case going before Judge Merchan or Merchan, whatever it is. His daughter, a political Democratic Party activist, Judge Merchan's family financially prospers if Donald Trump loses this case. And he's the judge over the case. So everybody knows. That's fair.
That's not a conflict.
There's one word for this. It's called recusal.
Yeah.
But he's not going to do that. And again, just real quick on the Stormy Daniels case, just so everybody knows, this was turned down by Alvin Bragg, turned down by state prosecutors, turned down by the United States prosecutor, all this inside of New York, turned down by our own DOJ to prosecute it. Then they dispatched, Joe Biden dispatched Matthew Colangelo, who's third in charge of the DOJ, in charge of civil cases inside the DOJ, dispatched him to Alvin Bragg to reignite this case against Donald Trump. That's exactly what happened. And Donald Trump is being charged with paying off Stormy Daniels using campaign funds. Only problem being is that the money that was exchanged between Donald Trump and Stormy Daniels was given to Stormy Daniels before he was a political candidate.
Yeah.
So that should erase the case, right? The case should end right there, but it doesn't, of course, because they can do whatever they want with a blue judge, Merchan, and a blue jurisdiction, blue juries, blue appellate courts. They can do whatever they want. And information has come out from Michael Avenatti that the one who actually initiated all of the Stormy Daniel interactions between the Stormy Daniel interactions with Donald Trump, i.e. Stormy Daniels accusing Donald Trump of having an adulterous affair with her, were actually instigated by Michael Cohen, who was having an affair with Stormy Daniels.
Oops.
Michael Cohen, Trump's attorney, at the time went to Stormy Daniels and said, hey, I know that we're screwing each other right now, but what I need you to do is tell Donald Trump that you're going to out a relationship that never happened if you don't pay me off. What? Cohen told her to do that while he was having sex with her. That's exactly what happened. I mean, that's what Avenatti says. I believe it. So it may not be what happened, but that's allegedly what happened. This was written by, notice the signature on the bottom of this. Thank you, Stormy Daniels. Trump writes on True Social, look what was found. Look what was just found. Will the fake news report it? Official statement of Stormy Daniels, January 30th, 2018. To whom it may concern. Over the last few weeks, I have been asked countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 11, 16, 17, and now again in 18. I am not denying this affair because I was paid hush money, as has been reported in overseas and owned tabloids. I am denying this affair because it never freaking happened. I put the freaking in there. I will have no further comment on this matter. Please feel free to check me out on Instagram. There you go. Stormy Daniels and Aaron put there, signed, thank you, Stormy Daniels. Case freaking closed. But because it has to do with, and I tell you this all the time, a blue jurisdiction, blue judge, blue jury, blue grand jury, they can just make up whatever they want and charge you for it, and who's going to stop it? They write a warrant, and the cops come to get you. What are you going to do? There is no they that's coming for you. So we had better all rally, and we can't vote for the Mike Johnsons anymore because they're electable. Because as Mike Johnson has done, as the Mike Cuckboy Johnson that he is, he turn on us. Because what's the point of electing a Republican who legislates as a Democrat?
That's right.
What's the point? Well, we own the House. How do you own the House when they're legislating as Democrats?
Yeah, exactly.
You might as well just have the Democrats or try to get legit Republicans in place. All right, that's it. 11 minutes into overtime. Stick around for the post game. Back here Saturday night. Love you guys. 987. What was our high tonight, Aaron? Do you know? It was 1,014 maybe?
Yes. Like that? 1,014.
People who gave tonight, love you guys. Aaron and I are going to try to put this together for every show so everybody knows who's given to the program, and I just really appreciate you guys. Nude Monk, love you. Love the name. $50. Flash River, thank you. I read all your stuff. I may not always answer it, but I see all your stuff on Twitter. Wendy McGroin, McGroin Nation, love you guys. $25. Aaron Yeager. Hey, put both of you guys on. Both of these two stooges right here gave $20 to the TLP tonight. Tex Billy gave, that's TX Billy, gave $50. Tammy L. Margritter.
Margritter, maybe.
Margritter.
Yeah.
$20. Thank you, Tammy. Love you guys. Seriously, there's no show without you. I wouldn't have the energy to do it without you because, you know what, it's only fun because we're all in this together. I love each and every one of you. Stick around for the post game. Be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Back this Saturday, 10:30, short little show, 55, 56 minutes of fury. Don't miss it. Don't miss the post game. See you Saturday night. Everybody is captive to something. You will choose one of the three: God, the world, or the devil. You'll be captive to one of those three. You'll be captive to one of those. You need to choose your captivity wisely. Well, I just want to be free from God then. God, okay, free from God is hell. Free from God is hell. Why? Because every good and perfect thing comes from above. James 1:17. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. Anything that is so funny to me, because as people try to destroy America in the name of saving democracy, they destroy every good thing about the very America that hordes of people try to get into every day. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. So you're like, I just want to escape God. Then you escape every good and perfect thing. But you need to choose wisely. You need to know right now, what am I captive to? If there's other things more important to you than the gospel of Jesus Christ, understand that you're in captivity to the world of the devil. Thank you.
If you enjoyed watching the Tom Lipley podcast, please consider investing in our program. Go to TomLipley.com and donate $25 or more, and we will send you this TLP mug warmer. We look forward to you tuning in next week, and thank you for giving.